Mets fans, I want to take a quick break from talking baseball and let you know about the next top prospect in building a smart home. Eufy Video Smart Lock E330 is that big-time new star prospect. The Eufy Video Smart Lock E330 is a smart lock, a 2K resolution camera, and a doorbell. It's three devices in one, triple the security. You know triples are rare in baseball, but not with Eufy. You can have everything in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. Just the other night, I had tons of packages in the rain. Rather than fumble for my keys, I easily entered my home. This is big since I have four dogs who are impatiently waiting for me at the door. No more concerns about losing keys, and you could assign passwords to your family members. Worried about when your loved ones are getting home? Eufy allows you to see them coming back home via the integrated camera. Hey, Mets fans, this is a home run. I had a competitive product before Eufy, and it's the difference between a one-dimensional hitter and a five-tool player. Eufy is that five-tool superstar. Go to eufy.com, that's EUFY.com to learn more. Already sold? Go to Amazon and get your Eufy Video Smart Lock E330 today. Want to go to the store? Best Buy will have it starting around May 20th. Get complete control over your front door at ease with the Eufy Video Smart Lock E330 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
I felt like everything was working as I looked at the pitch count thing. Throwing a lot of strikes today, getting ahead of a lot of batters, especially with all my pitches today. Pulled that curveball today, so that was cool to see, you know, throw it in there, put it in the back of the head, then, you know, curveball. So let my fastball play a little better tonight.
You mentioned the curveball. If you'd only thrown it five times entering today, you threw it five times just today. Have you been working on that at all? You know, adding it more into your repertoire?
Yeah, I've been working on it, trying to obviously get a game ready. I threw it today. I threw, I'd say, probably about three or four good ones, and then one that almost got in head. But no, just being able to have a pitch that starts top of the zone to get him off my fastball up in the zone, you know, to really, I guess, secondary reads in the box and allow my fastball to play a little better.
Last time, you had a slow start and then settled in. This time, no slow start. Did you feel any different or better, or different in any way this time?
No. I mean, things don't change. Mentality doesn't change. Just going out there and just fill up the zone. That's about it.
You start here, you're going deeper and deeper in the game and raise your pitch count, too. I'm just wondering, you think you've raised kind of their trust level as far as, hey, you know, we'll let him face it, order the third time through, you know, he can go.
Yeah, I mean, the situation called for it. I mean, yeah. Low pitch count, and we had a two-run lead, so why not? I would think, why not let me go? I wanted to go out again. Obviously, didn't get through the seventh, but gave it the best I did. But, you know, obviously the goal is to go deep in the game, save the bullpen, save the arms. So glad I could, I guess, go to distance in a way.
Another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Monday, April the 25th, 2022. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media and do the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. And I want to welcome in the good folks over at the Fansided Podcasting Network, as well as RisingApple.com. Yes, I come to you with this short on this Monday as you start your week early Monday morning after the Mets have just taken 2 out of 3 from the Arizona Diamondbacks to start their second road trip of the season. And you probably ask, well, you know, I listened to you after the series of the Giants, Mike, and you said, hey, we'll see you on Wednesday after the end of the road trip. And that was my intention. But after watching Tyler McGill yesterday and watching David Peterson on Friday, and the name of the show is the Tyler McGill Experience, I felt compelled to do this short because first I like coming to you. And as we continue to evolve here with this show, I think the regular season, as you hit certain points and there are certain things that come out, I think it warrants jumping in with a short. We've done this in the past, and they're hard to predict because sometimes the news cycle is hard to predict. And I always look at this show as a certain flow. Every show bleeds into the next, and there's a theme. And you want to touch on all the major points and opinions that you want to get out there to give you the best experience possible. And sometimes waiting a week doesn't do that. I will tease a little bit before I end this short podcast what the plan is and who the guest will be, because it will be a co-hosted show on Wednesday. So I'm not going to get too deep into the series with Arizona. Really, what you saw the Mets do, that's what taking care of business. Remember, what was it, the 2006 Mets, their post-game song after they would win a game at Shea Stadium was taking care of business. It was a very business-like approach by that team. Go out, win a series, win a game. Sometimes it'd be pretty, sometimes it'd be dominant. Sometimes it wouldn't be very pretty, but they got the job done. And I think you saw that over the weekend. Now, yesterday, similar to what you saw in the getaway day game against the Giants, we'll start there, and Tyler McGill had everything to do with it. That, again, is the blueprint how you want this team to win a ball game, home, especially on the road, anytime. You want your starters going into the sixth, seventh inning, preferably the seventh. You want to hand it over to the bullpen where they don't have to get really more than 7 to 9 outs max. 6 outs, that's a dream. Yesterday, that was 7. And I think the exciting thing you see, and you heard McGill as you were coming into the show, you heard his comments, is not only just the confidence that he's expressing as you hear him talk, but that he's actually trying to evolve as a pitcher. And if you don't think having the kind of guys around him, like a Chris Bassett, like a Max Scherzer, and if you look at that dugout and you watch during the game, guys like McGill and David Peterson, who are they hanging out around? Bassett seems to always be around. Scherzer's always seems to be around as well. You saw, I think it was after the Washington game, or maybe it was the Philadelphia start that McGill had. Bassett was sitting with him and going through his repertoire on the iPad, giving him some advice. And, I was going to Baseball Savant because I wanted to see what they thought of and how they charted McGill's repertoire. As I watched yesterday, Ron Darling pointed this out later in the broadcast. The exciting thing about McGill is that as he went through the first, second, third time around the order, he was mixing things up a little bit more, and he talked in the clip about how he's trying to put that curveball in. Now, according to Baseball Savant, he throws his curveball very few times. I don't think they counted anything yesterday as a curveball. Last year, he only threw it 45 times. I believe the reporter, and I don't know who asked that question, said he only had thrown it 5 times going into today, and this looks like it's been updated with yesterday's ball game. It says he didn't throw any curveballs. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But here's a guy that my main concern, as you were, and I believe I've said this, and I've talked to scouts who saw him in college, that he's a fastball changeup guy. And typically those guys are relievers because you don't want to go around the order more than once with them. Forget, you know, maybe twice. And a reliever, you could only see them maybe for 3 batters, maybe 4 or 5. And it's easier to get away with that repertoire. He's also got a slider. And the slider, in a lot of ways, is almost one-to-one now with his fastball. So it makes that fastball even that much more effective when they have something else to think about. I believe my junior pitching coach, as I put my junior pitching coach hat on, I think he's locating his fastball much better. I think as he goes up and down the lineup, he's trying different locations with that. His changeup and his slider were nasty at times. Real nasty. I think the repeatability of his mechanics look very solid. Tyler McGill, to me, might be, out of all the good things that we've experienced here early in this 2022 Mets season, and I said this going into the road trip, the offense has been good, and the magic number was hit in the two wins of 5+ runs a game, but not, the offense hasn't really taken off. We did a show, and I'm not going to get into the bullpen today and Buck's management of the bullpen, because I know that that's going to be a big topic all year. The bullpen hasn't been great. It's been serviceable. It's had some moments. Still a lot of walks coming out of the bullpen. But the big story is this. Yeah, the starting pitching has been dominant. It's been historically dominant. But you expected Scherzer to be really great, and really, you expected Bassett to be very good. And a lot of people, maybe not me, know the history of Carlos Carrasco. Here's a guy that has gotten Cy Young Award votes. So are you really surprised, if you were a Carlos Carrasco believer, that he's been good? So put those guys aside. I think the concern you had is you didn't know what you were going to get out of the back half, especially when Walker went down. DeGrom going down was code red, our first thunderbolt of 2022. How are you going to survive? You know, best case scenario, he's back June 1st. He might be out the first half. How are they going to survive? And here you have a guy in McGill who, by the way, is right there with Carrasco, is walking the least amount of batters on the staff. His walk rate is way down. And to me, that's where it all starts. He's cut his walks basically more than in half. And that's huge. And you could listen to him about the maturation. He's not surprised at what he's doing. He's completely comfortable in being there. And I know they've compared him to DeGrom and a young DeGrom, and I hate when people do things like that, because DeGrom always showed a promise. I always liked DeGrom as he developed into the Rookie of the Year and then to the pitcher that he became. Did I think he was going to be all-world, like that level, have a challenge Bob Gibson for the lowest ERA in a season? No, I didn't think that. Nobody thought that. I always just say he reminds me of David Cullen. A lot of moxie, competes, gives you quality innings even when he doesn't have his best stuff. I'm not going to say that about McGill, but there is a lot to be excited about a guy that got no real love on any prospect list or was talked about. And the exciting thing is that not only he can give you that blueprint, you're starting to see a guy. We have to see him go around the league now. You know, he has to go around the league and see teams 1, 2, 3 times, because they're going to get a book on him and he's going to have to adapt and adjust. And look, he may not be in this rotation in a few weeks. Like, big day today in Metsville. Jacob DeGrom's going for that MRI. Today you're going to get some news by the end of the day, maybe early tomorrow, the latest pregame with Buck on Tuesday. I know they're going to be hounding him today about what the status of DeGrom's MRI is and how he's progressing, because ultimately that's where this rotation then gets to a crazy level, an excitingly crazy level. You know, McGill might not be in this rotation, but what's good about it is that now you're starting to see first competition. Competition always makes everybody better. It's going to make Walker better. It's going to make everybody better. And your 6 and 7 guys, because in a normal, healthy rotation, McGill is 6, Peterson 7. You now have, and I'm not as sold on Peterson, but I'll give you a little bit about him, because he's starting to get my attention as the guy I saw with the moxie and the serviceability that he showed in 2020. When you go that 7 deep, you're in a good place, because now you got two guys that could potentially do doubleheaders, that could potentially sub in. And in the case of McGill, that's going to be a guy that Peterson, it stunk that he got sent down, but that's paperwork. He's coming back for the May 3rd doubleheader. They needed an arm. I agree. I think it's better for him not to be coming out of the bullpen here and making some regular, I guess at least one regular turn in Syracuse. You know, McGill's a guy that you're like, this guy belongs to the rotation. And I guarantee you, if he continues this going into Memorial Day or after, depending on whenever DeGrom comes back, and assuming that Walker is the 6-inning, 3-run guy that we think he is, there's going to be debate about why Walker's staying in rotation and McGill's not. And that's a good, healthy, fun debate for a team that has championship, at the very least, playoff aspirations. So I think what you saw is the blueprint again of how this team is successful and how you can mitigate maybe a bullpen that has some guys that you don't, not maybe, there's some guys that you don't trust yet. It's definitely a bullpen that I get concerned about overuse. They don't have that everyday stable, rely on guy like Loop that you had last year. There's a little bit of mix and matching that Buck has to do that he's still trying to figure out. So if you get seven innings, and you should get that out of Scherzer, you should be able to get that out of Bassett. I think Carrasco could do it. I mean, he's done it in his career. He's a little older, and he's coming off of not pitching so many innings last few years, so that they may have to limit him as time goes on. And to a certain degree, McGill falls into that because of the innings jump he had last year. But if you, for the most part, in close games, when you don't want to just pull him, you got four guys now that get into the seventh inning. And Peterson did that into the sixth. And I know everyone's going to say, well, he was, you know, it was a little dunk that two outs, nobody on, a little dunk that Nimmo couldn't handle, and they took him out. I don't have a problem with that because Matt Davidson, right-handed power hitter against Peterson, the last thing you want to do is leave him in a batter too long against a good, well, maybe not a good right-handed hitter, but a guy that historically in his career hits lefties really well. You don't want to ruin the night on that. So that was the right play. With McGill, it was the right play to push him. And it's funny that Buck brought up that maybe he'd get into the eighth, because I said if he could get a quick third out here in the seventh, push him into the eighth. I mean, ultimately, my vision for all these pitchers, all of them, that includes DeGrom, whatever. I mean, we know Scherzer's going to want to do it. I think ultimately you'd love to see them do 110. I love to see pitchers get to 120 pitches. I don't see any reason, and maybe it's not every start, and you have to monitor how they are and where they are and how they feel. There's a lot of back-end, under-the-hood stuff that goes into that. But in practice, in theory, sitting on your tush watching this and assessing this, 120 pitches is what these guys should be able to do. They all should be able to do it. Now, if you don't like the third time around the order and you're concerned about that, I get that. But sometimes where we get a little bit too clever by a half is that you got a guy cruising. Well, the numbers indicate that he can't go the third time around the order. Well, give him a chance. You had a little, and you had a little bit of a cushion. You had a three-run lead yesterday. That is exactly what a good manager with some big-picture thought process, not the, you know, I'm going to be a total slave to the data. If McGill is going to become a mid-rotation and, dare we dream, top of the rotation, number two maybe, type of pitcher, he's got to learn early to pitch the third time around the order, and he's got to push himself to 100, 110. Like I said, let's dream 120. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I think that becomes crazy time in modern baseball. I think Buck absolutely is on board with that. Is the front office with Billy Epler and the data guys? I don't know yet. I know there's a segment of the fan base that will never, ever, ever. That's like, you might as well, you know, use a four-letter word. That's about as controversial as anything you could talk about. So, you know, to me, this road trip and beating Arizona, which is what they should do to a club that, second division club, can't really hit, but a pesky, you know, it's a club that the starting pitching hasn't been that bad. And I really liked all three of the starters they threw out there. Gallen, I've always liked. You know, Bumgarner. I mean, there's a guy, I wonder, with a couple of years left on the contract, if they're out of contention, is that a guy they put on the block that a contender goes and comes after? He's not going to be the Bumgarner that shut the Mets down in the postseason. And maybe only, I'm surprised they took him out after five. But maybe they're building him up. I mean, there's a guy that I thought could go 6-7. Maybe they got data that at this point in his career that the third time around the order, whatever. You know how this all goes. And Castellanos, a guy throws a lot of off-speed, you know, mix and match. I mean, those three guys were tough. It wasn't an easy series. I know because the club is not good and they can't hit. They got a couple of bats in that lineup, especially at home. I mean, that's not a rollover series. So this is, I believe, the fact that both Peterson and McGill went out to the desert where the ball flies off the bat and beat this team on the road. And Peterson should have probably gotten, not should have, he should have gotten a win too. To me, that's exciting. Now, the other thing about McGill is that if he's starting to really develop a slider and maybe a curveball, you're looking at a guy with three, maybe four pitches. Peterson, what's exciting about Peterson, and I'll throw him in there, is, and I went to Baseball Savant, you could do the same thing as well. Looking at some of the peripheral data, a lot of his good data, and I think the success with Peterson is not that he's He walks a little bit too many batters. He's up over 3/9. He's not a strikeout machine. He never was advertised as that. And I think sometimes when guys start to strike out a lot of batters, and you heard them talk about McGill got excited, let me start throwing 100. Don't become Noah Syndergaard back in 2017 who wanted to throw through a brick wall every time, because then he got hurt. You don't have to throw 100. 95, 96, 97 is plenty. And guess what? This day and age, velocity is like three-pointers in the NBA. Everybody can throw hard, so the batter gets used to it. And if you don't throw hard, you're looked at as a, you're looked at as the oddball. I think one day you're going to see a guy with off-speed repertoire come in and dazzle someone, and all of a sudden it's going to be this is an interesting development. Maybe we should have guys throw different speeds and different angles. Yeah, like something that happened from forever. But going back to Peterson, he's not throwing hard, making a lot of soft contact. And the data shows as you go, his exit velocity has dropped back to where it was in 2020 during the pandemic season. His ERA is a guy you expect. That's a guy who's a perfect six inning, five inning, two runs, six inning, three run guy. His walks are down from where they were. Even his strikeout rate is back to where it was. It was very high last year. It's back to where it was. You know, I think Peterson is a guy that had a couple injuries. We knew about the foot problem, but it looks like last year he wasn't himself for a variety of reasons. But he's really, I don't think he's as good as what you've seen. He pitched in that Easter football weather. That certainly helped him on that Sunday. But if you can get a guy that's your six or seven guy, six innings, three runs, you take it. Lefty with some upside. I don't think, and everybody who has seen Peterson for a long time has told me, he's not going to be a guy that's a top of the rotation guy. He's a back end of the rotation guy. But that's okay. These are young, controlled guys. The Mets could go out there and rely on them. They could shuttle them. Not ideal sending these guys down, but you could shuttle them so you don't have to worry about losing them to waivers. And it gives you the time. And the most important thing is it gives you the time to figure out what you have with DeGrom. One of the more exciting things that has happened, and a lot of that has to do with McGill and Peterson, not a lot, most of it, is that we talked about during the show, which was labeled Play Better. We can't, Buck Showalter is not a guy, nor should this team be a team that hangs their head, gets their Doppler down, and feels sorry for themselves. And you don't want to hear them say, well, everything is going to be okay until DeGrom gets back. We'll be okay until DeGrom gets back. Let's just hold the fort till DeGrom gets back. Until yesterday, when it was known that he was going for an MRI, you haven't heard DeGrom talked about it at all. I bet you, and be honest, think about this, and if you want to let me know over an email or at Mike Silva Media on Twitter, you can tell me. I won't tell anybody. Be honest. For the first almost 20 games now, you're not thinking about DeGrom a lot. Now, winning plays into that. But I bet you there's been times where you've been assessing this team and looking at this team and getting excited about McGill and Carrasco and Bassett and the starters and how good they've been. And I don't think you're thinking about DeGrom. I know you're thinking about the bullpen. I know you're agitated sometimes with Buck, who, by the way, I am going to tell you, Jolie Rodriguez again yesterday. I wasn't so crazy about him coming into a four-run game. I'm like, oh, this is going to be dicey. Got to trust that the guy knows. There's a reason why they went after him. We know it's because he's lefty. They didn't give up anything special for him. There's something they like about him. And you know what? Look at Garrett Whitlock over in Boston. That was a ex-Yankee that the Red Sox scored off of Rule 5. Brian Cashman's got a couple of E's on his ledger lately. So maybe the Mets stole one. I'm not comparing him to Whitlock. Whitlock has been at another level, but you get where I'm going. So I think that's, to me, to summarize really and to leave you with this, there's the blueprint, and McGill being able to do the blueprint, not Bassett, not Carrasco. I mean, Scherzer, that's a given. That's tonight. McGill being able to do the blueprint, Peterson trying to do the blueprint. And guess what? McGill doing it when the bullpen had to be taxed on Friday in a game that shouldn't have been taxed, and then had to have a bullpen game on Saturday. I mean, what more could you ask? That's a veteran performance. Again, second division club, but in the desert, they're at home. And here's another thing. The team, I think they were hitting like a buck 90 as a team. they're still big league players. Even though they're a team that could lose, or last year they lost 110 games, even teams that lose 100 games or have the potential to lose 100 games, they're still big league hitters. They are still under-indexed. And what happens when a team or a player is under-indexed? The Buck 90 team starts at 300-plus and starts to percolate because they're just trying to average things out. They're going to get their hits. If they're a 230, 240 hitting team, they're going to be that. Whether they get them all in one shot, or little by little, or a little bit at the beginning and a lot at the end, they're going to be that. That's what baseball has been since the beginning of time. That's why it's a numbers-driven game. So sit back, relax, enjoy this run. Mets off to a 2-1 start. The goal on the road trip is always to win road trips 4-2. At the very least, they go and play a tough Cardinals team in a tough ballpark in St. Louis. They get to see their former teammate, Steven Matz. And if they could get one, they guarantee a 500 road trip. But get greedy. Let's see what this team... Let's see. This is another test game. They had the test series against the Giants, and they passed. They've already won a road trip. They went into Philadelphia. And I know Philly was kind of a test series, but they're a weird team. Can't figure Philly out. I don't think they're a bad team. I certainly think they're a team that's going to be a winning record, and they're going to be a pesky team. But this is a Cardinals team that made the playoffs, played great down the stretch, has a good home field advantage. And let's see. Let's see. They're playing, they're facing Miles Mikolas, who's having a great start to the year. They got Steven Matz. They're facing Jordan Hicks, who's a starter now. This is a test series. So when will you hear from me next? So you got this little bonus surprise Talking Mets podcast. Well, I'll be back with you Wednesday, probably very late. What might not drop till early Thursday morning, but definitely Wednesday. Going to have Pat Ragazzo of Sports Illustrated co-host with me. We've talked about it. We've been trying to connect for a while. Pat covers the team. I do not believe he's on the road trip, but he definitely covers the games at Citi Field, and he tries to get down to like the local areas. SI will send them like Philly, like DC, places like that. And we'll get the take from somebody who's been around the club. So it should be interesting. That's the plan. Pat and I have the plan to do that. Let's hope we can keep that on schedule. In any event, the end of the road trip will lead to another show. And I think that that's what I wanted to get out to you as well, is that, yes, we're going to do the Sunday show. That's the plan. Mets play a baseball night, Sunday night baseball game this Sunday. But as we look at the schedule, as the schedule develops, as off days come, as news develops, I think it's important to do these kind of things. And look, McGill and Peterson deserve their own little McGill specialty show here. Just look at the numbers. The numbers are trending in the right direction. And you know, with Peterson, it's nothing sexy. Just going out there and getting outs. I mean, sometimes making contact, making good pitches, locating your pitches will do a tremendous amount to you. And maybe with Tyler McGill, we're starting to see the evolution of a really good big league pitcher. I hate to compare, but doesn't it give you kind of a little of that 2014 DeGrom in you? And I'm not saying he'll be DeGrom like DeGrom is now. If he's DeGrom in 14 or DeGrom in 15, or maybe even DeGrom, even before he got hurt in 2016, but DeGrom was a very good pitcher, but you weren't looking Cy Young. You could develop in that pool of the pitching scenario. Wow, you just got yourself a dream. Those are the kind of players that you need to go out and give up prospect capital for, or sign big free agent contracts to. Not guys that should be, you just got something thrown in your lap. Mets, it's been a long time since they developed guys. That's been a big criticism. Always the bullpen's been an issue, but that's a separate story. But that's where we're at. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this Monday morning to a Talking Mets short. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you get the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G. Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast after the road trip on Wednesday. Till then, take care, everybody.
Meet the Mets. Head for the park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.